We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States!
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent 6 of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with 2 German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you think we've done a good job, we would appreciate a 5-star review. We are trying to fight the algorithm battle, and we appreciate your support. The website, macroaggressions.io, is the best place to find anything related to the show. We appreciate our sponsors. They help us stay in business. God knows we need it. Legal Shield has been helping people for 50 years in the United States and Canada get access to a high-powered attorney in their area for a very, very reasonable price. $1 a day, $30 a month. We'll get you a lawyer in your area that can handle a variety of things for you, including paperwork, knock out a last will and testament, some legal documents, whatever you need. From this point forward, if your work wants you to sign some unusual employment contract that includes language about what medical procedures you agree to do, send it to your attorney. Don't sign anything without your attorney taking a look at it. Rich people do that all the time. You have access to it now. They've made it affordable for everybody. I encourage you to just take a look at it, see what you think. They have all kinds of a la carte items that you can add on, like identity shield and small business plan, or somebody that carries a gun. They have documentation for that. So there's a lot going on. The best place to go to find out more about this is the website that they built specifically for this show. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. The link is in the show notes or also on the website in the partners page. But, you know, if you're somebody that needs these documents, you don't have a will, gotta get one. Gotta have one, man. I know, nobody wants to spend $2,000 to go have a lawyer draft a will that you're gonna use once you're dead and you won't know that you're using it anyway. I understand that. But when it's $30 a month, then you really have no excuse. So do what you can. Do what you need to. You'll get no hard sell for me, but it just seems like such a no-brainer. I'm a member. I've been a member now for 2 years. I use it all the time. You should check it out. Don'tgetpushedaround.com. Also, Chemical Free Body makes great supplements that actually work. Did you know that? It's amazing. It puts them in a unique category of supplement manufacturers that are normally just cramming sawdust into their stuff. But Tim James is devoted to making sure that there are no chemicals in the substances that he brings to market. And Chemical Free Body is fantastic. It's a great place to go to check out if you have if you need Green 85 every morning, green drink, they've got it. If you want the Pat Miletich Super Soldier formula, they've got that too. I've been on their detox bundle on two different occasions. It leaned me out in a way that was so noticeable. I had to go buy new shorts, and I don't have weight to lose, and I lost it anyway. It may have similar results for you. Some results may vary. I don't know. It's just me. I can't say what it'll do for you, but it works. I can tell you with 100% certainty, it works. So if you're interested, go to chemicalfreebody.com, use the discount code MACRO on your way out, and see what you think. Okay. Now that we've got the business out of the way, you're probably looking at the title of this going, everyone must check in. Why does that sound familiar to me? And why can't you put the actual topic in the title? Well, you know why. You know why. You know what everyone must check in is about, don't you? Well, if you don't, you're going to. It is about the school that shall remain nameless. Yes, everybody, we're going to talk about Sandy Hook today. And I'm going to do all the legal disclosures in advance, because we see what they do to people that start talking too much truth about this event. And for all of you out there that think that Sandy Hook was a nothing burger and that Alex Jones and Jim Fetzer are unhinged lunatics that are spouting nonsense conspiracy theories, I have news for you. Alex Jones and Jim Fetzer were correct. That's the reason why they went after them as hard as they did. Not because they're wrong, not because they were talking about spotting Elvis and Bigfoot in the produce section, eating treats and getting their picture taken by the National Enquirer. If you want to talk about that stuff, they'll let you talk about it all day long. When you want to talk about actual government involvement in false flag events, drills that go live, drills that were nothing but simulations, then you start to get yourself in an area where the intelligence agencies have a problem with it. So this is for educational purposes only. Do your own research. I'm not advocating for anybody to harass anybody or talk to anybody. This is simply the evidence that I've found. This is in my book, The Octopus of Global Control. If you are interested, like I've mentioned, the audiobook is now out. And yes, I've been, I'm grateful that I've been getting good responses from it. Cool. It's 23 hours. This is part of it. There's a section on this. I'm going to go through it. This is going to be, I'm going to go through this and we'll take as long as we need to take. You know what I mean? Because this is important. This is an important one. I've tried not to get too much into it because I know it's radioactive. Not because I don't think that, you know, not because I thought I was wrong in the book or that it's not important. But you have to sometimes sort of stay out of the line of fire with things like this, especially when you watch what Alex went through with the just a joke. I don't know if you're familiar with the Alex Jones Sandy Hook court case, but legal scholars will take a look at that case in the future and will hold it out as a complete and utter sham trial. Alex Jones was not allowed to present evidence at his own trial. I mean, the whole thing might as well have been conducted on a ship that was out in international waters, because there's nothing American about this trial at all. It was a straight up hatchet job on Alex Jones. And again, you can say what you want about Alex, he's CIA, he's disinformation, whatever. Okay, maybe. He's been doing it a long time. I'm sure he's had interactions with everybody, right? Everybody wants Alex Jones to say what they want him to say. So you can take that for whatever you want. He wasn't wrong on Sandy Hook. Now, he's not allowed to say that he wasn't wrong because we saw what happened. But I ask you, is this a natural, normal response to somebody questioning an event? Is to sue them for $1.5 billion, or in Jim Fetzer's case, $400,000, or in Remington's case, millions of dollars? Because I'm seeing the mainstream media openly question whether or not Donald Trump was shot, right? Aren't they questioning a shooting? Aren't they questioning a narrative? Shouldn't they be sued for $1.5 billion? I mean, Alex Jones questioned a shooting and you threw him under the bus. MSNBC questions the shooting and it's stunning and brave, right? So the hypocrisy is off the charts here. And we understand the reason why the Sandy Hook event was so polarizing was because if they were to uncover the absolute lie that is Sandy Hook, they would have to take Barack Obama away in handcuffs and Eric Holder in his entire administration, which, of course, should have happened. But they weren't going to allow that. Sandy Hook was for gun control. Period. End of story. And no children died at Sandy Hook. That's the good news, right? So you want to call me an unhinged conspiracy theorist? That's fine. But I have evidence. I have facts. You have feelings. The feelings are, how dare you talk about an event in which 26 children or 20 children died and 6 adults? How dare you? How disrespectful you are to the legacy of those children to come out here and stomp on their graves and say that none of this happened. And how dare you do any of this? Well, you know how I dare to do it? Because none of it did happen. How dare you, in fact, for pretending that it happened and using that as the justification to come after people like us? I can prove it didn't happen. The burden of proof is on them, though. Show me the bodies. Show me the death certificates. Show me everything. Really? You bulldozed the house of Adam Lanza afterwards? I've been alive on this planet for over 50 years. I've seen the news deal with plenty of murders. I've seen my neighbor murder some other family. I didn't see it, but my neighbor, when I was growing up, murdered some family. You know what they didn't do? They didn't bulldoze his house afterwards. In fact, I've never heard of that. You know where you hear of that? Sandy Hook. You know what they did with the school afterwards? They bulldozed it. You know what they did with Adam Lanza's mom's house after he allegedly killed her in there? They bulldozed it. Why? Because that's how you destroy evidence. That's how you clean up a crime scene. So again, stop looking for all these explanations. Look at how obvious it is. It's right in front of you. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through this. I'm going to point out massive flaws in the story. Just one after another, after another, after another. Okay? And then afterwards, you tell me. If I thought 20 kids were dead in there, I would be extremely respectful. I would not be stomping on their graves or disrespecting their memory. And I would like to think that I have built up some goodwill with the audience so that they know that I am not somebody that just runs with every theory that he hears. that it, if that if I'm going to talk about this, that means that I have done the work and I've done the homework and I've done the research, and I have. And I've got news for you. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. That's why Jim Fetzer wrote the book. That's why Alex Jones said what he said. They were right. And the reaction by the feds should tell you everything you need to know. Let's start with this. Let's start with the official story. December 14th, 2012. When did the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 get passed? Right after this. Oh, yeah. Legalizing propaganda inside America. Here was the first case. Right here. Adam Lanza, suffering from Asperger's syndrome, shot his own mother at their home, then drove to Sandy Hook Elementary, where his mother was a kindergarten teacher. He proceeded to shoot 6 adults and 20 kids before turning the gun on himself. Police were called to the scene, but they didn't fire a shot. That's the official story of Sandy Hook. Okay. Okay. What I'm going to do, and I'll have you just sort of bear with me a little bit, because I'm going to be referencing my book as a source material on this. I have notes in front of me as well, but I'm also going to use the book, because the book has a lot of great quotes, and rather than me rewrite out 20 pages of notes, it just makes sense. So some of the things we're going to do, I would jump around a little bit. I'm going to try and keep this as logical as I can. What Sandy Hook was something known as an integrated capstone event. And an integrated capstone event is a joint venture between the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. And they happen from time to time. And they are done to coordinate federal, state, and local response teams in the case of a mass casualty event. And they train, because training makes perfect. And what Sandy Hook was a training. It was an integrated capstone event. It was on the schedule. It was on the calendar for when it was going to take place. This wasn't an accidental type thing. It wasn't random. The reason why there's a big sign that set behind Gene Rosen that says everyone must check in is because it was an integrated capstone event. Last time I checked, at school shootings, they don't have signs that say everyone must check in, and then a bunch of crisis actors walking around. And for those of you that think crisis actors are fake, I'm here to tell you they're very real. They're very real. I'd like to just state this for the record too, before we get too far into this. And I'd like to remind everybody listening to this that everything that you think you know about Sandy Hook came from the mainstream media. Let that sink in for a second. Okay. I mean, maybe some of the audience is like, oh, I was way into this stuff. I was researching it. You probably know, you probably already know where I'm going with this, and understand that I'm not some unhinged tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist trying to make a name for myself like the new Alex Jones by being, making ridiculous claims. I want none of Alex Jones' stuff. Okay. I don't want any of that heat. I'm just telling you what I found, and what I found is massively incriminating for the state. Because they were behind this, and because it's fake. So again, knowing what you know about how the mainstream corporate media works, and understanding that they had a stranglehold on this information, and anything contrary to the general public was totally banned and was never allowed on television, right? You have to understand that what most people believe the mainstream media story, because they assume the media they know that the media is a little bit, tells white lies, right? In their mind, the normies. Oh, maybe the media tells white lies, or maybe they get some things wrong from time to time. But they would never, I mean, even the mainstream media would never lie about 20 kids being killed, because nobody would do that. That's beyond the pale, right? Nobody, you'd have to be a sick monster to pretend that 20 kids were dead. Therefore, who's the sick monster? The media, or this blood-drinking, ranting and raving lunatic Alex Jones? Well, it's easy to say, oh, Alex Jones would be the one doing that, right? But in actuality, it's the mainstream media that lied about 20 kids being dead. They looked you straight in the eye and told you to feel sad and to give up your rights and to give up your guns and to give up all of this. And the amount of gun control legislation that was passed in the wake of Sandy Hook is staggering. And it was easy because nobody was going to vote against it. You vote against it. Oh, are you pro school shootings? No. Well, then you better vote for it. So you see how this is done.
I mean, it's no mystery. But when you hear the details of what was really going on that day, you're going to understand why they wouldn't let Alex Jones explain this, right? So, by the way, for what it's worth, there's nothing wrong with having drills. There's nothing wrong with practicing what you would do if there was an actual school shooting. The problem is that when you're practicing and when you're having a drill at a school that's been shut down for years, and I'll explain the details of this, and then magically, at the same time, at the same place, at the same school, 20 kids up and die, it's a bit coincidental, I'll just say. It reminds me of the 7/7 bombing. Do you remember the 7/7 tube bombing in the UK, in London? It happened. It was Peter Power was running a simulation with his company that was hired by the government to run a simulation simulating a tube station attack and a double decker bus attack. And while they were running the fake simulation in the UK in tube stations on the morning of 7/7, simulating a fake bombing in the tube station, what wound up happening at the exact same second that they were simulating a tube station bombing was an actual tube station bombing. Boom, it blew up. And you know where the double-decker bus blew up too. Do you remember what street the double-decker bus was on? Or what subway station, what tube station the double-decker bus was on when it blew up? You can see everything's blown up. It was in front of the Tavistock station. So sometimes drills simulating things go live and people actually die. 7/7. Sometimes they're drills that are simulating things and then they pass off the simulation as a real event even though nobody died. Sandy Hook. There were drills in the area simulating a Sandy Hook style shooting at the exact same time that Sandy Hook got shot up. I'd like to read you this. The preparation for mass casualty is designed to establish a learning environment for players to exercise their plans and procedures for responding to an incident involving children as casualties. The preparation for mass casualty will be conducted on December 13th, 2012, beginning at 8 a.m. Exercise play is scheduled until the exercise director controller determines that the exercise objectives have been met. Everyone must sign in with controller upon arrival. Chapter 2, Exercise Logistics, Exercise Plan, Mass Casualty, Drill, FEMA, Department of Homeland Security. Explain that. Explain to me why FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security were holding a drill the day before Sandy Hook in the same area simulating Sandy Hook. Take as much time as you need. Show me. Does the existence of everybody must check in sign make sense now? Everyone must sign in with controller upon arrival. Interesting. Fascinating. Exercise play will begin. It continues. Exercise play will begin at 8 a.m. on December 13th, 2012. Play, interesting word. Play will proceed according to the events outlined in the MSEL, Master Scenario Events List, in accordance with established plans and procedures. The exercise will conclude upon completion of operations and attainment of the exercise objectives as determined by the exercise director controller. The exercise is expected to end at 11:59 p.m. on 12/13 and be evaluated on 12/14 as a real-time event. The smoking gun of Sandy Hook. What are the chances that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security just so happened to be conducting a drill on the day before and the day of Sandy Hook? By the way, this drill is called FEMA Drill L-366. Would you like to know the name of it? Planning for the Needs of Children in Disasters. Where was this drill going to happen? Where? Right down the street. When was this drill supposed to happen? Same day as Sandy Hook. Very same day. Now do you understand what we're up against? Now do you understand this? I don't have to speculate. I don't have to go into a Nostradamus-imposed meditative trance to pull this information out. It's in their own paperwork. It's in their document. I have the document. I have the playbook. It's there. I'm not making this up. I'm just using their information against them. Okay. I'm going to This is President Obama lying. I visited Newtown 2 days after what happened, so it was still very raw. It's the only time I've ever seen Secret Service cry on duty. It continues to haunt me. It was one of the worst days in my presidency. You didn't see Secret Service cry on duty, you fucking liar. You didn't see any of that. I know what Barack Obama is about, and it's not that, okay? So he's, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to go through unusual facts about the case. You're just going to go, oh my God. So this is just going to be rapid fire, so to speak. It's bullet pointed in the book, so it's going to be sort of bullet pointed in this episode. Okay. Adam Lanza was said to have Asperger's. He was described as weighing 112 pounds, yet he is alleged to have fired over 150 shots from a Bushmaster 223 caliber rifle with a 96% kill ratio. Only one person was injured but not killed, all while wearing a 15-pound bulletproof vest. 18 children and 6 teachers were declared dead in only 11 minutes, unusually quick. According to Connecticut state attorneys, there were no fingerprints on the .22 rifle that Adam allegedly used to shoot his mother. The school nurse told the media that the gunman was the son of the kindergarten teacher at Sandy Hook and that she was, quote, an absolutely loving person. But Nancy Lanza was not a kindergarten teacher at Sandy Hook, and neither Adam nor Nancy had any proven connection to the school whatsoever. The LifeStar trauma helicopter was not called to take injured children to the hospital. The media certainly was called, though. They had several helicopters filming the area. There is no footage of the 500-plus students of Sandy Hook evacuating the school. Adam Lanza was initially listed in the Social Security Death Index as having died on December 13th, 2012, one day before the alleged shooting. Sandy Hook Elementary School had hazardous asbestos and was closed in 2008. The school was not in compliance with ADA requirements. The school had no internet activity from 2008 through 2012. And safety school expert Paul Preston received confirmation from several contacts in the Department of Education that Sandy Hook was just a drill. And the reason why he received this confirmation is because Sandy Hook was just a drill. So here's some, we're going to break this down. I'm going to go through unusual things that happened outside of the school. Why were the police parked a quarter of a mile away from the crime scene? They park in front of the grocery store in red zones and don't give a shit what you think, but a murder scene with 20 dead kids, they decide to park a quarter of a mile away. Why? Did they need the exercise? Were they eating donuts in their squad car? What was happening? We know that the police that were on scene ate lunch in the school. Can I ask you a question? Just, you don't have to be a cop. If you were in a building in which 20 kids had been murdered and 6 adults, and then it was lunchtime, first of all, would you be hungry to eat lunch? Let's just say you were. Would you take your lunch and then go in that school and eat it? That's what the police did. And the reason why they did was because it wasn't filled with dead children and waves of blood on the floor. They ate inside the school because they knew it was a drill. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that happened outside of the school. Helicopter footage directly above the firehouse near the school shows the same 50-plus people walking in a very unusual and unnatural pattern. They begin by walking out of the firehouse, through the front door, through the firehouse parking lot, then behind the firehouse, then they just exited from, back inside the firehouse through the back door, and then back out through the front door once again. This happens over and over and over again until the helicopter moved away to film something else. The purpose was to give the impression that there were more people at the scene than there actually were. Helicopter video shows a teenager wearing a yellow Under Armour sweatshirt walking in circles in the parking lot of the firehouse for minutes until someone of authority, dressed in plain clothes, approaches him and instructs him to stop being so obvious. Adam Lanza's car was identified as a black Honda Civic, Connecticut, license plate number 872YEO, but the car was registered to a man named Christopher Rodia, born in 1969. There were no handicap spaces in the Sandy Hook Elementary School parking lot, a clear violation of state law, California or Connecticut General Statute Section 14-253AH. The cars in the school parking lot were all facing in the same direction in all of the rows instead of head-to-head as you would find in a normal parking lot, implying that the parking was coordinated and drivers were instructed to park in this unusual way. It's kind of the way you would park at a concert if someone was guiding you in. So you're kind of like, instead of being head, you know, front-to-front with the car, the other, you know, parked directly in front of you, you're sort of front to back. And all of the cars in the Sandy Hook parking lot were parked that way, which was extremely unusual. The iconic photo of a line of children exiting the school with their arms stretched out on the shoulders of the one in front of them was actually reshot another way with the same children, but with a different child leading the line in each photo. Don't know why you would take separate photos of these kids if they were running out of a school to not get murdered by some maniac. I don't know why you would stop and stage the photographs in four or five different ways, but they did. It's unclear why the children were fleeing from a mass murderer who would be stopped only yards away in the school parking lot and asked to get in a different order. So it just doesn't make much sense in terms of the photography side of things. There's no evidence to support that there were 489 students and 82 staff at Sandy Hook that day. All helicopter video shows that there were no children running for their lives. There were no concerned parents showing up. There was no steam coming from the boilers to heat the school on a 26-degree day, which suggests that they were either not turned on or were not operational. There was no sense of urgency from anyone on the scene. In a mass casualty incident, the proper protocol is START triage, S-T-A-R-T, triage. Simple triage and rapid treatment. Using tarps of different colors. Red tarps indicate immediate treatment is needed, yellow that treatment may be delayed, green that injuries are minor, and black tarps signify deceased. Photo evidence showed there were nobody on the yellow or red sections, and there wasn't even a black section set up. Ambulances were not allowed to get near the school, but several portable toilets were already there in case somebody desperately needed to take a dump at the crime scene. Paramedics and EMT were not allowed inside the school. Instead, they were held at the nearby fire station. That is incompatible with logic and reality. Okay. Fox News reported that a 12-gauge shotgun, along with 70 rounds of a Winchester 12-gauge shot, or sorry, 70 rounds of Winchester 12-gauge shotgun shells and a 12-gauge shotgun were found. Now, I want you to listen to this because this isn't, I'm not misspeaking here. I want you to understand what the media said. This is why I say that they're pathological liars. They don't know anything on top of, not only are they lying, but they're dumb on top of it. They said that a shotgun was found in Adam Lanza's glove compartment of his car. I want you, in your mind, try and make that work. In your mind. By the way, and 70 rounds. 70 rounds of shotgun shells. And a shotgun. In the glove compartment. Do you understand why this is so frustrating to me? Many people at the scene were given name tags on lanyards. Do you know where you see name tags on lanyards? At drills. You know where you don't see them? At mass murders. They don't give out name tags there, I've been told. During the televised press conference in which the coroner, Wayne Carver, described the murder of 20 children inside the school, the second police officer to his left is seen laughing on at least five different occasions. Dr. Carver also laughs on a couple of occasions during his press conference. Continuing on. Now we're going to go inside the school. Unusual things that happened inside the school. The school nurse lied when she said that that Nancy Lanza was a beloved teacher there. That wasn't true. That was a lie. She didn't get the script correct. There's no evidence of any frantic effort to save lives or remove bodies to hospitals. I mentioned that Newtown, Connecticut and state police had lunch inside the school, inside of active crime scene with a massacre. Luckily for all the children that just watched their friends get blown to pieces, pizza was being served at the firehouse just down the street, and they were all invited to that. Shooting 26 people would leave a minimum of 50 gallons of blood on the floor, but school was never cleaned up by a biohazard company. Quote, what blood was the answer given by Lieutenant Paul Vance when asked who cleaned up the blood inside the school. The persistence of electrical hazards for student and staff would have needed to be fixed if the school was actually in operation, which it was not. Unusual things that happened after the Sandy Hook shooting. So, I am of the belief that Adam Lanza was not even a real person, that he was a figment of the FBI's imagination, and or FEMA, DHS, whoever. And I think that those pictures of him looking like a, you know, like an autist, all, you know, weirded out, I think those are composite pictures. I know that there's been speculation he looks a lot like David Hogg. It's not David Hogg, but there's questions about David Hogg, too. From a different event. All right, let's talk about the things that are unusual that happened afterwards. A few, quote, survivors were reportedly taken to the hospital, but they were not interviewed. There were no firsthand accounts that proved anyone was killed or injured. The town clerk of Newtown negotiated with the Connecticut state legislator to avoid releasing the names, ages, sex, or date, or the death certificates of the alleged victims. Never released death certificates. Interesting. The Connecticut State Attorney General opposed the release of 911 calls. The Connecticut legislator recommended state employees be subject to a Class E felony for releasing information about Sandy Hook. That's weird. The FBI's crime statistics database shows no murders in 2012 in Newtown, Connecticut. I remember going to the FBI's crime statistics database and looking up in Newtown, Connecticut, which is the city in which this happened, for the year 2012, and finding that not only were there not 26 murders that day or that year, there were zero murders in Newtown that year, according to the FBI's own official statistics. So I ask you, how can you have 26 dead kids but have no murders? You can't. The FBI report on the shooting had been redacted and was deemed classified. That's not normally how you handle these things, but okay. The United States Social Security Administration's death master file shows that nobody died at Sandy Hook Elementary School on December 14th, 2012, according to the Social Security Administration. Death master file. They have a master file on death. The donation sites created for families of the victims have hauled in over $27 million and counting. 10 months after the shooting, Newtown approved a referendum to demolish Sandy Hook and build a new kindergarten through 4 elementary school using a $50 million state grant. No sudden influx of students from Sandy Hook into neighboring schools afterward, which you would expect if all of a sudden the school was no longer in operation and you had to send 500 kids to local schools. You would see a net increase of 500 students across those schools, with all of these Sandy Hook kids being forced into these other schools because their school is closed down. You don't see that. It's not reflected anywhere. The demolition company that was used to tear down the school was required to sign a lifetime confidentiality agreement as to what they saw during demolition. The lead investigator in the Sandy Hook incident, 49-year-old William Podorsky, the Connecticut State Police Western District Commander, died on June 16th, 2014 at Yale New Haven Hospital after a, quote, brief undisclosed illness. Reporter Michael Belmore, 27, was fired by the New Haven Register because he was investigating Sandy Hook. He died on May 3rd, 2014 at Yale New Haven Hospital. Joanne June Ingalls, 53, was the secretary of Irving Pinsky, the attorney that brought a lawsuit against the state of Connecticut for $100 million on behalf of a child that was traumatized by the Sandy Hook incident, died suddenly at Yale New Haven Hospital. Pinsky withdrew his lawsuit, citing a need for more investigation after gunshots were fired into his office in conjunction with the sudden death of Ingalls. Two Connecticut state police officers confirmed to Wolfgang Halbid that the 11,000-page report prepared by state attorney Steven Zdensky was, quote, the script for the Sandy Hook drill. The same photographer of Noah Posner, a boy said to have died at Sandy Hook, was also used in Pakistan by those protesting the drone strikes that were killing innocent children. Photos of the alleged murder scene in the Lanza home showed that the bed where Nancy was shot, but there was just a little red stain that was more consistent with someone spilling a glass of wine. and certainly nowhere looking like a murder scene. Nancy Lanza's bed is shown to have had one of the legs sitting on a small blue patch of tape or thin foam square that is more consistent with movers trying to preserve the quality of the carpet, although the other three legs are not sitting on those patches. Looks like they staged the scene. In Nancy Lanza's bedroom, she has white carpet. There is no blood on the white carpet. The Lanza's home, as I mentioned, was later bulldozed. No reason given. So, in rewatching some of the interviews with the parents, there's one very difficult observation that simply cannot be ignored under any circumstances, and that is no tears. Not a one. There is impossible to find as any dead kids. No tears. A lot of laughing, though. A lot of unusual, behavior, but the behavior that you would expect to see, like parents sobbing uncontrollably, or Robbie Parker, whose daughter was just murdered, you know, laughing before he walks up to the mic and says, "Are you ready? You know, are we ready to go?" And he walks up, takes a deep breath, acting technique. I know, acting technique, clears himself. Takes a breath. "My name is Robbie Parker, and I was one of the parents who lost a child today at Sandy Hook." Robbie Parker should be taken away in handcuffs. Robbie Parker is a pathological liar. His child did not die at Sandy Hook. Unusual things that happened before the Sandy Hook shooting. And some of these things involve technical website-related components, like when a page went live, when a website went live, when a fundraising page became operational. And there are flaws and errors in this. I will also say, you know, some of these pages were started before the event. I will also sort of preface this by saying I don't understand fully exactly how websites work. And there is a case to be made that there could be a mistake on the website side of things. Like, I have heard of things being a couple of days off. So I'm not good. This isn't necessarily the smoking gun that it's going to maybe sound like it is, but it is something to, it's something to add on your list. I wouldn't use this as rock solid evidence yet, unless somebody who is like a forensic internet specialist could get in there and really tell me the details of this. But here's some things that are worth mentioning. A Facebook tribute page, RIP Victoria Soto, for slain teacher Victoria Soto, was created on December 10th, 4 days before she was allegedly killed. United Way's Sandy Hook School Support Fund webpage was created on December 11th, 2012, 3 days before the event. The United Way has collected over $6 million from very generous people that don't realize that they had been conned by this. The fundraising site YouCaring.com has a fundraiser for the families involved in the tragic Newtown, Connecticut shootings. Once again, the problem is that the fundraiser event was dated December 10th, which is 4 days before the event. Sandy Hook Elementary Victims Fund was established a day before the official day of the shooting. Juarez set up the GoFundMe donation website on December 13th, the day before the shooting. Emily Parker's donation website was set up the day of the shooting. United Way extended condolences to Sandy Hook families 3 days before the event. YouCaring donation website opened 4 days before the shooting. So, listen, I mean, you got to give credit to these charity web page developers. Or they certainly don't procrastinate. I mean, in some cases, they must have a DeLorean or getting ahead of this. Let's talk about some of the witnesses. Okay, I've never seen a least credible group of witnesses than the people that supposedly saw what happened at Sandy Hook. Let's start with Jean Rosen. The media introduced us to this character immediately after the shooting, though in each interview he gave, his story about the event changed slightly. Right? His demeanor got increasingly more unusual and bizarre. He pretended to cry in every single one of his interviews, never a tear. Like I said, there was a common theme. You know, for such a tragic event, you'd think there'd just be waves of tears just falling. You know, never happened. Gene Rosen's a prime example of this. If he is, he is a terrible actor. I mean, he looks like he should be in like soap operas or something. You know, he's just like, it was so over the top. And in fact, it was so over the top that it was distracting to the point where you start to go, like, I'm listening to this guy's story, but like, let's ask some questions about the guy telling the story. You know what I mean? Like, in fact, in one video, he asked the reporter if he can start over again because he flubbed his lines and he wanted to do a retake. And the reporter was asking him a question. He gave an answer, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Could we try that again? And the reporter's like, "Yeah." And he asked him the question again, and then he went into a different. Like take two of his. It's incompatible with how your behavior would be if this was an actual event. I'm just saying. And again, to be fair, I can't say with 100% certainty I know how I would react if the school next door to me had just been shot up and 26 people were murdered. I can't say for certain how I would behave, but it wouldn't be like this. And he, of course, is the one. When you see the sign of the guy, he's wearing sunglasses and he's kind of like standing there with a dumb look on his face. And there's a sign behind him that says, "Everyone must check in." That's Gene Rosen, who's standing in front of the sign. He starts telling his story, right? And he starts talking about how, and it's very weird. He was telling them that he's like, "I wish that the kids would call me Uncle G or Grampy and that he loves them. And that he just wants to hug the kids and that he wanted to go out and he wants them to come to his house more often. And he wishes that they'd call him Grampy." I mean, the whole thing was so bizarre. It was it just didn't make any sense. He was the loving neighbor who was down the street who took in a bunch of kids that had witnessed this. But his description of what he did with them changed every time. It was bizarre, to say the least, and it didn't make sense. And then let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about the crazy coroner. Did you ever see the press conference with the crazy coroner? Have you ever seen Cannonball Run? Have you ever seen the crazy doctor in the back of the ambulance who's injecting himself with all that? So that was Dr. Wayne Carver. I mean, it was pretty much him. He was the strangest person in the entire event. He had a little Fetterman in him. You know, he kind of like was a big oaf like Fetterman, but he was autistic as fuck. And he was laughing at inappropriate times. And I'm going to read a quote from him. So the reporter says to him, "In what shape were the bodies?" Now, keep in mind, this guy is the coroner who just dealt with 20 dead children, okay? Which has got to do something for you. I'm sure as a coroner, you've seen a lot, but 20 dead children you've never seen. "In what shape were the bodies when the families were brought to check?" Dr. Carver, "We did not bring the bodies and the families into contact. We took pictures of them, of their facial features. We have, it's easier on the families when you do that. There is a time and place for the up close and personal in the grieving process, but to accomplish this, we thought it would be best to do it this way. And you can control a situation depending on the photographer. And I have a very good photographer. But thanks for clarifying nothing, you weirdo." But again, if you watch the press conference, he's cracking himself up during the whole time. He's laughing inappropriately, and he's Kamala Harris in it. That's what he's doing. It just occurred to me that Wayne Carver is Kamala Harris in drag. You know, just cackling and just like, "Yeah, we have a situation on our hand." You know, "No, did the parents get to see their dead kid? "No, we took pictures. That's good enough. Parents are cool with that, you know, and I have a good photographer." Just again, devoid of any sort of logical reason why this would be happening. Let's talk about Robbie Parker. My name is Robbie Parker. Well, at least according to the script. He's probably the best known. He held a press conference later that night, 5:22 p.m., to discuss the death of his daughter. It's hard to imagine the pain that, you know, as a father of a daughter, I can't even imagine the pain. But, and Robbie Parker can't imagine the pain either because he didn't experience it. He tried really hard to make it look like he was crying. He tried the hyperventilation acting trick to trigger that emotion. Didn't work. He's a shitty crisis actor. It's what he is. They've also run his the family picture of him. He's his wife and three kids. The third kid, who was his daughter, that was alleged to have died in Sandy Hook, those photographs have been revealed to be fake. They were faked. They added the kid in. So he comes out and he gives this account. And what he didn't count on was that the camera was live. They were playing this press conference live. So it didn't start live when he stepped up to the podium. It was live before that, as he was standing behind the podium and he was talking to some people and he was getting ready to walk up to the podium and do his speech. And as before he walked up to the podium, he was talking to the guy next to him and he was laughing. He was kind of giggling, saying, "You ready? Are we ready for you ready for me?" And then he walked out. And as he walked out, he then, in his mind, believed that he was now finally on camera, not realizing that he had been on camera all along, even while he was laughing. And then he did the hyperventilation. "My name is Robbie Parker. I'm one of the, you know," and he went into that whole thing. That's an acting technique. That's what actors do. So he was lying about that. I want to talk about something that nobody talked about, really. I shouldn't say that. It didn't get enough talk. And that is a section within the Sandy Hook that I titled "Money for Nothing and Your Houses for Free." Many of the families that participated in this is where I'm uniquely qualified to speak on this, as somebody with 25 years of real estate experience as a broker in California and Nevada. I have access to computer software that not everybody has access to. I can dig into files and look at closings that maybe not. I have brokerage level access, meaning I am a broker and salespeople work underneath me. So I'm the head of my real estate brokerage. And because of that, I have access through computer systems to just a different level of information. And so with that information, with that access, I decided to go take a look at the closings in Newtown. And what I found is pretty hard to explain. Okay. So this is on December 25th, Christmas, 2009, 3 years before the event, there were a series of housing transactions that closed inside Newtown. And I want you to understand something. If those of you who have done, who have bought or sold a home in your life, or maybe some of you that even work in real estate or mortgages or escrow or whatever, or maybe you're outside of the United States and you don't understand how this process works, I'll explain it to you a little bit. When you're buying a home, you go through this process. It usually takes a while before the house transaction closes. You can have a contract to buy a house and you're under contract, but until you go through the final escrow process in which the money is all accounted for and a closing procedure is initiated and everybody signs everything saying, you know, you come to the closing at the end, the buyer signs, the seller signs, everyone gets their documentations done. That information is then given to the county clerk, the county recorder's office. It is then filed. It's recorded. Once it's recorded, and by the way, you can sign your documents in the recording process. Doesn't happen immediately. It might take you 48 hours, take a little while. This is where people get hung up in this. Like, I've got a moving van filled with stuff and I haven't closed my house yet. It's closing in 2 days, but it hasn't happened yet. You're in this limbo. It's normal. It's frustrating, but it's normal. That's a process. Then you officially get the closing. Once it closes and it records with the county, boom, you're done. You get your keys. Everybody's done. The transaction is finished, right? But you need that closing to happen at the county level, right? It has to get filed and recorded with the government that it's an official transaction. Those closings happen Monday through Friday during business hours. You know when they don't happen? Christmas Day. They don't happen on Christmas Day. There's never been a closing on Christmas Day, except in Newtown, in which houses changed hands 3 years before Sandy Hook in Newtown. All of them with $0 transaction fees, meaning the houses cost nothing, and they all closed on Christmas Day. An impossibility, unless there was inside help. I looked it up. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw the closings. I saw when they happened. There were many of them. I forget exactly how many. It wasn't like, it was like more than eight, maybe less than a dozen. It was somewhere between 8 and 12, I think. I forget exactly. I stumbled upon it. It was shocking to me. So we start acting around, asking around, right, to see how that that could be possible, right? So we looked into it. I looked into it. Who is responsible for the home closing? A company called Vision Government Solutions was the company. And their explanation is that how these houses had transaction sales prices of zero and a closing on a holiday, Christmas, was that there was some sort of glitch. Their explanation was that there was a glitch. Now, $0 transactions happen. That could be like you're just selling it to yourself and putting it in a trust. So I'm not too concerned about the $0 transactions. It's noticeable, of course. If it was, you know, if they were all $500,000 transactions, then there would be money moving around. There's no money moving around. They were $0 transactions. That, again, that's not anything out of the unusual, unless it's a group of them, which they were, that are all happening in the same city, which it was, and they're all closing on a day that there's never any closings, Christmas Day. I mean, it's not even like if it were a Saturday, I could say, well, it still wouldn't have closed because county's offices are closed on the weekends, but you could maybe sort of found some excuse to make a case that they opened on a Saturday when they normally didn't, but no way on Christmas. 0% chance. Didn't happen. And of course, we know it didn't happen because their excuse for it was that it was a glitch. It wasn't a glitch. It was made to happen. And it was made to happen by somebody on the inside. That's the only explanation for it. And it was made to happen 3 years earlier. So did all of the people that were participants in this get free houses? Yeah, more than likely they did. Because again, you give me an explanation as to how these all closed the transactions on Christmas and I'll shut up about it. But you can't. Because there is no logical explanation for that, except it was an inside job. I want to read a quote from Professor James Fetzer, co-founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, former Marine drill sergeant and graduated magna cum laude from Indiana University, earning a PhD. So I want you to listen to what Jim has to say about this. According to Dr. Carver and state police, Lanza shot each victim between 3 and 11 times during a 5 to 7 minute span. If one is to average this out to 7 bullets per individual, excluding misses, Lanza shot 182 times or once every 2 seconds. Yet, according to the official story, Lanza was the sole assassin and armed with only one weapon. Thus, if misses in changing the gun's 30-shot magazine at least 6 times are added to the equation, Lanza must have been averaging about 1 shot per second, extremely skilled use of a single firearm for a young man with absolutely no military training and who was on the verge of being institutionalized. Okay, so we're going to keep going here. I mentioned that there were porta potties at the event. Again, you remember all those school shootings where the first thing they do is bring porta potties in case people need to go to the bathroom? Remember that? Doesn't happen. I want to read something. This is Wolfgang Halbig got into it with Connecticut. And I had a phone conversation with Wolfgang when I was writing the Octopus book. We talked for about an hour about his relationship with these police and how they had treated him and what they were doing and how they were following. They came to his house in Florida and were messing with him there. They were very upset that Wolfgang was digging into this. And one of the things they did was they granted him some hearings in the state of Connecticut before the State of Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission. And the respondents were 2 Newtown Police Department first selectman Patricia Lordra, the town of Newtown, and Newtown's Board of Education. They were all represented by an attorney, a guy named Monty Frank, who is a gun control activist. So this is attorney Monty Frank, and he's having an interaction. He's got Patricia Lordra on the stand. She's the first selectman. I don't know what, that's just the title that they give him in Newtown, Connecticut. And this is June 13th, 2015. She's testifying under oath that the city of Newtown had no involvement with the rental of portable toilets or the everyone must check in sign at the Newtown fire station. This is the testimony of Patricia Lordman, getting grilled by this Monty Frank guy, the attorney representing the city of Newtown. And I want you to, and then at the end of it, at the very end, Wolfgang Halbig's attorney parachutes in with like a last question, and that's the sort of zinger. So listen to this back and forth. This is the attorney who's interrogating Patricia Lorda, who is the Newtown, who works for the city of Newtown. Okay, the attorney says, "Do you know whether or not porta potties were delivered to the area surrounding the Sandy Hook School on 12/13/2012?" Patricia Lorda, "I have no knowledge of that." "Did the town order porta potties on 12/13/2012 or anytime around that date to the Sandy Hook School?" "Absolutely not." "Did the town pay for any porta potties that may have been delivered to the area on or about 12/14/2012? "No." "And no invoices obviously were received by the town during that period?" "None." "Directing your attention, please, to request number 8. Which was a sign-in log referred to a traffic sign posted outside the Sandy Hook Elementary School on 12/14/2012. Do you see that?" "Yes." "Were you able to locate a copy of the sign-in log?" "No." "Do you know whether or not the sign-in log was placed on the traffic sign by the town of Newtown?" "It was not." "And was it ever given to the city of Newtown?" "It was not." "No further questions." Here comes Wolfgang's attorney with one question. "So let me understand this. There's a sign in. There's a flashing sign that says everyone must check in, but the town didn't put it there. Who do you think put it there?" Patricia Lorda, "I believe Homeland Security put it there." Ding, 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 ding. So they got the city. The city didn't even know. The city's like, "We didn't do it. We didn't put this stuff here. We didn't order the porta potties. We didn't order the signs. We didn't do any of this stuff. Are you sure?" "Yeah, we don't have any invoices for it." "Well, who did it?" "Feds." "Oh, now we got it." So we go on to Wolfgang Halbig has FOIA request hearings. They are, you know, they're not well received. But the documentation that they get was crippling to the official narrative. So this school was built in 1956 and was contaminated not just with asbestos, but with lead and PCBs. The roof was severely dilapidated. The engineering consultants recommended that the school district allot $4.5 million to upgrade the HVAC system, and the school was simply not fit for students and faculty to occupy. It was not an operational school at the time. If it had been an operational school at the time, by law, it would have been required to have the handicap parking spaces out there, and it didn't. It would have been required to have all sorts of retrofitting done to it. It would have been required to have the asbestos taken out, but instead, they just destroyed it. Do you know what else was scheduled to have the asbestos taken out of it but got destroyed instead? The World Trade Centers. You can either take the asbestos out and spend a bunch of money, or you can just run a false flag and then take it down and blame terrorists, and then nobody gets mad at you that the asbestos is all over the place. Meanwhile, it's killing first responders in New York City years later, but that's okay, because the lady at the EPA, Catherine Todd Whitman, who said that Lower Manhattan was safe to use, was rewarded by becoming the governor of New Jersey, because that's how it works. Same thing here. This is from Jim Fetzer. "If the city already knew in 2008 that the school was contaminated with asbestos and in 2013 used the contamination to justify tearing it down, why would the same asbestos-contaminated school be safe for children and teachers to inhabit from 2008 through 2012? If Sandy Hook Elementary School had remained open, wouldn't the school district be sued for endangering public health?" Of course it would. Of course it would. Let's talk about a little bit about the gun control agenda here. This is from Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy. This is a press conference the morning of the alleged shooting. Interesting choice of words. Quote, "Earlier today, a tragedy of unspeakable terms played itself out in this community. Lieutenant Governor and I have been spoken to in an attempt that we might be prepared for something like this playing out in our state." You were talked to about this playing out in your state? How would somebody know that Adam Lanza was planning to do all this stuff? How were you given advance notice that something like this might play out in your state? Who gave you the advance notice? The feds? Did Adam Lanza call you and give you advance notice that he was planning on doing this? Yeah, the obvious question is, Who told the governor to prepare for an event like this? This is from Attorney General Eric Holder, who is the Attorney General at the time of Sandy Hook. This is from 1995, from a C-SPAN video. You can watch him saying it. I've also asked, this is Eric Holder, quote, I've also asked the school board to make part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing I think is clear with young people, as with adults as well, is that we have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then do it only on a Monday. We need to do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. That's the Attorney General Eric Holder in 1995. Brainwash people into talking about schools and the way we think about guns. A reminder, Eric Holder is the one that was involved in Fast and Furious, that was bringing guns, taking guns to Mexico and involved in gun running. So Eric Holder knows a thing or two about guns. God. It's so frustrating. I've gone through these chapters. Okay. So look, I don't want to beat this to death. Okay. There's a lot of questions about this event. Okay. The people involved, the so-called witnesses, the Gene Rosens, the Dr. Wayne Carvers, the Robbie Parkers of the world, again, if you didn't know anything about it and you just watched the press conferences with those people, they would jump out at you as being a little off. And some of this is circumstantial, right? None of their behavior proves anything, of course, but it's unusual. And if you start to pile up a bunch of unusual behavior, what it does is it's unusual given the current story that's being told. 26 dead people, you know. Their reactions don't match with that story. However, if you swap out the story and you say, no, we're not, this is all fake. What we're doing is we're running a simulation. It's like we're making a movie. And we brought these people and they're going to role play this, but none of it's real. Nobody actually died. Then you look at the scenario and you go, oh, that would explain why cops went in there and had lunch. That would explain why parking was set up the way it was. That would explain why there was a sign, everyone must check in, why there's actors, why they're serving pizza up at the fire station, why the ambulance and paramedics and fire departments aren't allowed to go down there and save these kids, why the trauma helicopters weren't called. It would explain all of that if it wasn't real. Of course, duh. You used a school that wouldn't be bothered because it wasn't in operation. And it also explains why as soon as you run that drill and claim that it is the truth, you're pot committed, to borrow a poker term. You're in. You can't say, we were making it up. Because at that point, you've broken the fourth wall. Everyone sees that this is fake. You can't do that. So the minute that they made this an actual event, they then had to silence everybody else that was poking holes in it. Because the story was so flimsy, because it wasn't real, that anybody questioning it was a threat. Alex Jones, Jim Fetzer, anybody talking about it on social media, it was automatic disqualification. I got banned on Facebook 4 times in 1 year. I got banned on Facebook for posting a picture, a meme of somebody else's. I didn't even make it. That showed the bulldozed foundation of Sandy Hook, and it said, now that's how you destroy evidence. Right. And I just posted that. I got a 30-day ban from Facebook for that. So the word went out. Anything having to do with that school, anybody talking about it, shut them down. The reason why you would do that is because you are defending a poorly crafted lie. And if it were the truth, then the truth stands alone. Let all you unhinged, disrespectful conspiracy theorists come in here and try and poke holes in this. I dare you. It's the truth. We can back it up. We can defend it. Take your best shot. We'll embarrass you with the truth. None of that happened. They didn't want you talking about it because they knew they were lying. That's the explanation for it. You go, God, $1.5 billion they went after Alex Jones for it seems a bit excessive. Not when you understand how valuable the lie is to them. It's worth it, right? To put these people under the prison, right? So that they never crawl out. And I know, you know, say what you want about Alex, of course. And we all know his very mysterious sort of amorphous role in delivering a lot of this information over the years. Sometimes he knows, you never know, right? But the response to him should have gotten your attention, even the normies out there, because you can say all kinds of things and not get sued for $1.5 billion. And again, to be crystal clear, one of the things that they alleged that he said was that you need to go target these families and you need to go target these people and rile them up. First of all, he never said any of that. You would have known that he had never said any of that if he was allowed to defend himself, which he wasn't. So, and allowed to present evidence to the contrary of all these cases. But you understand what this is. This isn't the sort of thing that you win. You can't win in that trial. It's a kangaroo court. The judge is in on it. Everybody's in on it. You're not winning that case. You just have to know that going in. But it's about watching their actions, right? They went after anybody that talked about Sandy Hook. They didn't go after anybody that talked about Columbine. Isn't that weird? They went after everybody that talked about Sandy Hook because Sandy Hook was extremely important to them, you know? And I'm willing to say that I've got it all wrong if somebody can explain to me why FEMA drill L-366, planning for the needs of children in disasters, was happening at the exact same time right down the street from Sandy Hook, in which, in this fictional drill, it was a school shooting. Again, how many coincidences am I supposed to believe? Am I a coincidence theorist? I'm certainly not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. I am analyzing an actual conspiracy, and Sandy Hook is an actual conspiracy. It's one of the most important ones out there. To understand it is to understand how the empire operates and to see how what a massive importance they put on gun control. They want you disarmed so that you can't fight back. They'll do it incrementally if they have to. They'll pretend that 20 children died if they have to, because they hate your guts. They don't care what you think of them. They're going to continue to do this. The only way this stops is if we expose it. So here you go. Take it for what you will. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can connect with me through the website, macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.